From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump has announced that he will pull the United States out of a major nuclear weapons treaty with Russia called the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, or INF. The president's reasoning was that Russia had apparently violated the treaty many times and that it was unfair in his mind for Russia to, quote, go out and do weapons while we're not allowed to. Trump said after a campaign rally in Nevada, I don't know why President Obama didn't negotiate or pull out. They've been violating it for many years. Now, Obama did rebuke Russia following the testing of a banned weapon in 2014, but he kept the U.S. in the treaty over European fears of a new arms race. According to the BBC, Trump's decision to walk away from the agreement marks a significant setback for arms control. Former Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev, who had signed the original treaty with U.S. President Ronald Reagan, has also slammed Trump's move. U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton is currently in Moscow for a trip that was scheduled previously and is speaking with his Russian counterparts about the treaty withdrawal. News outlets are reporting that it was Bolton's idea for Trump to back out of the treaty. My guest is Kevin Martin, president of Peace Action. Welcome to the program, Kevin.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So what is the INF, the Intermediate Range Nuclear Weapons, Nuclear Forces Treaty? Sounds kind of specific.
It is, and this could get very wonky very fast, so we'll try not to. We'll try to keep it simple and not have people's eyes glazing over. So the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Agreement goes back to 1987, but it was an issue of conflict between the U.S. and then Soviet Union going back to the late 70s and early 80s. This was, in fact, the first issue I worked on as an intern in Washington in 1983. So it's a bit of a bummer that this has come around again. But the point was to get rid of these weapons that are thought to be very destabilizing, intermediate range missiles between 300 and 3,400 mile range. And Ronald Reagan had placed Pershing II missiles in Europe, and it caused a huge backlash against that. A huge peace movement in Europe sprang up to get rid of these things. And it was a wise decision in 1987 for both the U.S. and Soviet Union to say we don't need these things, especially with all the other nuclear weapons we have. So it is interesting, and the timing seems to be very in your face, that Trump announces this on Saturday and Bolton is making this previously scheduled trip to Moscow today and tomorrow. There is some chance, though, that something good come of this, and we can get into that a little bit. It does seem like there is a lot of theatrics and politics going on here. It's not that this possible violation by Russia is endangering U.S. or NATO or European security. I think there is a lot of theatrics and politics at play here.
What do you make of Trump's claims that Russia has repeatedly violated the treaty? Has it?
It's possible, and there are some disputes going back and forth on that, going back to at least 2014 under the Obama administration. But as noted in your opening piece, Obama decided not to pull out of the treaty for a lot of good reasons. Russia also has its concerns, its complaints, and says the United States is in violation because of our so-called missile defense batteries that are in Europe, which could be turned into offensive nuclear missiles, or at least Russia claims that or is concerned about that, but also that so-called missile defense could be used as part of a first strike strategy. If the U.S., for whatever reason, decided to nuke Russia first, the missile defense batteries, which are not very effective, maybe might be able to shoot down a few Russian missiles. It's not clear they could shoot down anything. The point is that the missile sites could either be offensive or could be part of an offensive strategy. The other thing that I haven't seen noted in any of these news reports, the United States has nuclear weapons in Russia under the so-called NATO nuclear sharing. Five countries, Italy, Netherlands, Germany, Belgium, and Turkey, have U.S. nuclear weapons. Now, they're on planes, not on missiles, so they're thought not to be as destabilizing. This is in clear violation of the NPT, the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. So Russia has reasons to be concerned about U.S. nuclear forces and U.S. capability, including conventional capability, as well as all kinds of other provocative actions that the United States has taken over time. So you do need to look at some context here. But I guess the last thing that I think is significant about what's going on now, the Russians haven't reacted as negatively as one might have thought. And the announcement by the president to pull out of the treaty on Saturday wasn't actually pulling out of the treaty. So it could be that there will be some discussions. And if there is a broader context to the discussions about shared concerns over not just nuclear weapons, but security in the region, you may see some bigger deal that could happen between the U.S. and Russia, which might be very positive.
So you're saying that the fact that Trump is saying he will pull the U.S. out, but hasn't actually done so, is part of the sort of now, I guess, standard Trump gambit to, you know, we can saw that a little bit in the NAFTA negotiations, to bully countries into getting his own way?
Possibly. And you also saw this with North Korea. Remember, they had announced that there was going to be a summit between Kim Jong-un and Trump. And then for a day, he said, no, there won't be. And then a day later, he said, well, maybe there will be. And that, of course, they did. So it's not clear exactly what Trump and Bolton are doing here. If I was Russia, I'd be very offended because it does look like a smash mouth in your face. We're pulling out of this treaty, which was Bolton's idea, and he's coming to visit you Monday. That's really a very provocative step. But again, Trump's saying he's pulling out of it is not the same as the United States actually withdrawing from the treaty. So there is time to reverse this, especially if you look at it in the context of other concerns that Russia has, but also European countries and the United States have as well.
Now, some would say, oh, well, is this treaty really doing enough? Because the U.S. and Russia still have way too many nuclear weapons. Even if the Cold War is technically over, we're not done with nuclear weapons. And we know that the Trump administration, Trump himself, has boasted about nuclear weapons. He wants more the U.S. to have more nuclear weapons. He's made such idiotic statements as, well, why do we have them if we're never going to use them? So one might argue, well, maybe, you know, these treaties are really not necessary, are they?
Well, the people in Europe certainly don't want a new arms race on the continent, and it would be ridiculous for the United States.
So you're suggesting that this is sort of keeping the U.S.'s, keeping U.S. and Russia a little bit, holding them back from having an all-out arms race?
Yes, and especially that this was the first treaty that got rid of an entire class of nuclear weapons. So going back on this would be a real problem, and it could start a new arms race, which is the last thing in the world we can afford. The thing is, that new arms race has already started. A few years ago, in order to supposedly get Republican support to ratify the New START treaty between the U.S. and Russia, which covers the large intercontinental nuclear weapons and brought both sides down to 1,550, which is 1,550 too many. There should be zero. That's the proper number of nuclear weapons. It's supposedly, in order to get Republican support to ratify that treaty, the United States started a huge overhaul that's supposed to be over $1 trillion and probably over $2 trillion over the next 30 years to completely upgrade our whole nuclear weapons complex. Well, guess what? Russia, China, and every other nuclear state has responded in kind. So we're going the opposite way that we should be going. Every nuclear power, the nine nuclear states, are all working on upgrading and overhauling their nuclear arms. So the arms race is already started, unfortunately, and that's money that's not going to go to address climate change or, in this country, our infrastructure and transportation and housing and all the things we desperately need instead of a whole new class of nuclear weapons. So even though that's already started, we could reverse course on that, and people in this country have to say, no, we don't want our tax dollars going for new nuclear weapons. We want them for more life-affirming things that help build our communities. And again, the world can't afford a new nuclear arms race.
Do you feel that Europe can be enough of an influence on the U.S. to pull it back from the brink of leaving this treaty? I mean, we've seen Trump's attitude towards NATO, towards European allies over the past couple of years. He doesn't seem to feel that he has to, you know, be part of a broader European alliance, Western alliance with Europe.
Well, that may be in terms of his jawboning with other European leaders, but the European people will not stand for this. And we saw this in the 1980s, a huge peace movement against the placement of missiles by the United States, by Ronald Reagan, into Europe. The other thing, though, is you do have to look at even the broader context still, and there are some places where the U.S. and Russia have some common interests. Now, whatever we think about Trump and whatever money he owes to Russian oligarchs, or does Putin have something on him or whatever, it's in the interest of the whole world not to start a nuclear arms race and risk nuclear war, risk, you know, ending life on the planet. But also, if you just look at the U.S. overwhelming superiority, and particularly how we have acted so arrogantly since the end of the Cold War. Right now, if you look at the imbalance of power, the last 2 years, Congress passed a military budget where the increase, just the increase in the U.S. military budget, was bigger than Russia's entire military budget, and that was 2 years in a row. And what has happened even since the end of the Obama administration, Russia is now more dependent on their nuclear weapons because of our missile defense, our huge conventional superiority, our expanding NATO eastward, the actions that we've taken in Syria and Ukraine that have been, you know, very difficult for the people there, but also counter to Russia's interests. Because of all of that, Russia is now more dependent on their nuclear weapons for their security, which means you and I are less safe. Our tax dollars have pushed Russia into this place where they're relying more on their nukes, making us and the whole world less safe, Americans, Russians, everybody.
Do you feel unsurprised that this is likely John Bolton's doing, this idea to push or pull the U.S. out of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty?
Yeah, not a surprise at all. And of course, Bolton, a lot of people think, is making it more difficult in terms of diplomacy with North Korea and pushing for a confrontation with Iran, which could be a complete disaster. Bolton doesn't believe in international treaties and international alliances, et cetera. He believes in unfettered U.S. military power. However, again, and I'm not trying to be too Pollyanna-ish or naive about this, it is possible that this might lead to some broader deal between the United States and Russia, and it may involve things other than nuclear weapons. But if they decided to figure out what the concerns are around this treaty, it is possible that the United States could stay in this treaty. They also need to extend the New START agreement, or else it will expire in 2021, and then there will be no limits at all on the long-range nuclear forces. We need to stop and reverse this commitment to $2 trillion of upgrading and renewing our whole nuclear complex. And in fact, the U.S. and Russia should get on board with the majority of the world's countries. There was a treaty signed at the United Nations just last year to prohibit and ban nuclear weapons, eliminating them from the face of the earth. 123 countries have signed on to that. None of the current nuclear states have, but that's the direction we need to be moving in, not spending trillions on new nuclear weapons we don't need and nobody wants, and certainly not risking confrontation in Europe or wherever with nuclear weapons.
Nuclear weapons are just such a waste of the world's resources. They are quite literally the most, you know, the biggest waste that the humanity has ever come up with. I mean, we just don't stop to think about that.
Well, and this is where you have this oligarchy and this war machine on autopilot that regular people don't want. I went to Russia in 1997. Now, that was a long time ago, and U.S.-Russian relations were better. At the time, there was a fairly vibrant civil society movement on peace and environmental issues starting to grow in Russia. Now, unfortunately, that's not so much the case anymore, and there's a lot of problems with the Russian economy. But the Russian people are wonderful. I had the best hospitality that I could have asked for. And the people of Russia don't want a nuclear arms race or spending so much of their resources, because their economy is so much smaller than ours is, on nuclear weapons. And that's the same thing for the people of China or Pakistan or India or any of the countries that absurdly have squandered resources on nuclear weapons. And it's not just the squandered resources. I mean, that's tragic enough. There are estimates that for this whole nuclear buildup by the United States, you could put that towards addressing or at least mitigating climate change all around the world. And we say, oh, we don't have the money to do that. Well, yes, we do. It's just that we're putting it into wars and weapons and nuclear weapons, especially instead of addressing climate change, just to pick one issue that's very important. But the fact that nuclear weapons are sort of forgotten but not gone, you don't have a lot of people, even progressives, that are very concerned about it, yet it's the greatest threat to life on the planet in the near term, and it's so undemocratic. There's a great book by a colleague and supporter of ours. Her name is Lane Scarry. She's a professor at Harvard, and it's called Thermonuclear Monarchy. And what she says is, especially in this country, but also the other democracies that have nuclear weapons, the fact that we have a democracy is completely thwarted by the fact that one person could make a decision to launch nuclear weapons that could lead to ending life on Earth. That's how undemocratic nuclear weapons are.
Now, this current treaty, as it stands, the INF treaty, is a bilateral treaty between the US and Russia. Shouldn't we be talking about making it a global treaty instead of having the two that are party to it start to pull out?
Well, in a way, we're the ones that started the problem, so we should fix the problem. The only other country that really makes a whole lot of sense that maybe could be brought into it, well, I suppose, France and Britain. But why in the heck France and Britain still have nuclear weapons? They should get rid of those tomorrow. It's ridiculous. The only country that might make sense would be China. But there are other ways to deal with China, and China is actually very modest in terms of its nuclear forces and its nuclear posture and its policy. And so, again, if there were a bigger bargain here between the U.S. and Russia, which, again, could include things like how do we cooperate in Syria, how do we cooperate with regard to Iran, although U.S. doesn't want to cooperate with Iran since we pulled out of that anti-nuclear agreement, Ukraine, fixing the concerns about NATO expansion. So there are a lot of issues that could be taken into account here. And while I don't particularly excuse Russia's actions, it's understandable that they are at such a economic, political, and military disadvantage to the United States and the West that they are going to take some defensive measures to protect their interests. So I do think you could look at broadening this treaty, but I think the better way to do that is through broader treaties, including, again, the treaty that was signed at the United Nations to eliminate nuclear weapons worldwide, which none of the nuclear states are currently on board with and probably won't be soon, but that's certainly the demand that we who care about life on the planet need to be raising, that you guys need to be getting rid of these dumb things, not spending our tax dollars on them, and moving towards abolishing nuclear weapons far beyond just restraining this type or that type of nuclear weapons.
Right. I'm sure Trump would find a way to make the abolishing of nuclear weapons into an insult to all U.S. veterans. Kevin, what about congressional approval? Does Trump need congressional approval to pull out of this treaty? I mean, can he just do it unilaterally?
No, Congress could try to stop him, but this Congress certainly would not. I think if he decides he wants to do it, and again, he's not the first one to do it. George Bush, the second George Bush, pulled us out of the ABM treaty, the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, which was probably worse in terms of then that could start an arms race of so-called defensive weapons. But as I said before, are not particularly defensive. They are viewed by Russia and China and others as part of an offensive strategy. So it's not the first time that the United States has pulled out of an important treaty to deal with nuclear weapons. I think if Trump wants to, in the end, he will, but I think there's still some chance he won't. Again, this announcement Saturday was not an official withdrawal. It was an announcement to do so. And it's interesting, the meeting that Bolton is having right now, or it's very late, of course, at Russia time right now, we may see some news tomorrow about what kinds of discussions he had with the Russians. The Russians were not happy about this, but they also seem to be open to some dialogue. And there is also within the INF Treaty itself a dialogue mechanism, a verification commission to deal with these complaints or disputes. And they've only met twice. Clearly, they didn't get far enough because Russia does have some complaints, as does the United States. But again, my preference, and it is possible that there could be at least setting the stage for a broader conversation, not just about this treaty or these nukes. And coming up, they haven't announced another summit between Putin and Trump, but November 11th, Armistice Day, the end of World War I, the 100th anniversary, there's a meeting in France that both Putin and Trump will be there. And why not, on the sideline of that, take a half day to sit down and talk about some of these issues and see if we can't make some progress?
Well, who knows what will happen in the next few weeks as well during the midterm election. Some of this, the dynamics in government will change. Finally, Kevin, there was a time when anti-nuclear activism was all the rage, and it doesn't seem so now. What needs to happen in the grassroots to make nuclear weapons elimination a big issue?
It's very difficult. I mean, it's so depressing. People want to put it out of their mind, be in denial about it. But if you think about it, the two real crises in terms of threats to life on Earth are climate change and nuclear weapons. Climate change will unfold, unfortunately, is unfolding over time, whereas nuclear weapons could end life on Earth, you know, in a day. And I think a lot of people see climate change and they see the effects of it as affecting their lives, or they see it on the news. They don't necessarily see the effects effects of nuclear weapons, and it's just easier to put it out of their minds. It's very difficult. Even progressives don't talk much about peace issues or disarmament issues. One of the things that we certainly try to do at Peace Action is to connect with other issues, particularly around the waste that goes into military spending and nuclear weapons in particular, that should be going to address economic justice issues and climate change, et cetera. So we can try to make those connections, but it is very difficult to get people really engaged about nuclear weapons. Most people would rather put it out of their minds and get on with their day.
Kevin, give out a website for Peace Action so people who are interested in getting involved have a good starting point.
It's peaceaction.org, and we have groups around the country we work with, so you can get involved in your local community as well as supporting our national organization.
We'll post a link to that from our website. Thanks so much, Kevin.
My pleasure.
My guest is Kevin Martin, president of Peace Action. We've been discussing Trump's decision to withdraw the U.S. from the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.